You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, this morning's program is pre-recorded because we have an outstanding, internationally renowned guest, and we are so blessed to have him with us. And because he's in such great demand, he is not available during our regularly scheduled program. So we pre-recorded this show in order to work into his extremely busy schedule. And you know, friends, this is a very important topic that we have today because this week is the week of Mother's Day, this Sunday. So guys out there, make sure to remember your mother and your wife if she's a mom as well. And it's a very important holiday, of course, because our moms give us so much. And we think about Mary, who is the model for all mothers. But for many women in our society, Mother's Day can be a day when there's a lot of emotional and psychological sadness because while they have a strong desire in their hearts to be mothers, the sadness of infertility is preventing that. And our guest today is going to talk about ways to assist couples in achieving pregnancy that are aligned with the faith. And what's beautiful is that not only has he achieved great success with this new mission, with this new science, you might say, called naprotechnology, but he's also even more successful than the artificial reproductive technologies that are not aligned with our Catholic faith. So we see that God has an amazing plan. And before we get into that, just a couple of quick announcements. The Mass for Expectant Mothers with Cardinal George is this Sunday, May 11th at St. Thomas More Parish at 10 o'clock a.m. So all mothers are welcome, and the Cardinal will be giving a special blessing to all mothers. And if you're an expectant mother, the Cardinal will also give you a white silk rose with a medal of St. Gerard, and he'll be available afterwards. There will be a special reception. So that's at St. Thomas More Parish this Sunday at 10 a.m. That's located at 2825 West 81st. And if you have questions, you can call the Respect Life Office at 312-751-5355. St. Edmund Parish is going to have a Mass in celebration of life this Saturday, May 10th at 10 o'clock a.m. Also, 40 Days for Life. We're already gearing up for the fall for this major prayer initiative. And so make sure to join us. There's going to be a really important meeting on this that's going to be on June 5th at St. Mary of the Angels Parish at 6:30 p.m. We're going to provide dinner, and it's going to be awesome. Brian Brock, who's behind the glass today and our, I guess he's our technology guy for this show, is going crazy. This guy loves 40 Days for Life when we pray outside of an abortion facility for 40 straight days, and that's starting this fall. So join us on June 5th for that meeting. And for more information, you can call the Respect Life Office at 312-751-5355. So, friends, today I am just so excited to introduce to you a tremendous, I would say he's one of the most outstanding doctors that I have ever met in my life, and his work is truly remarkable, and that is Dr. Thomas Hilgers. He is the founder and director of the Pope Paul VI Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction in Omaha, and this institute is dedicated to research, education, and service in the areas of human reproduction within the context of the teachings of the Catholic Church, and he currently serves as a senior medical consultant in obstetrics, gynecology, reproductive medicine, and surgery at Pope Paul VI Institute. And he's a board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and gynecologic laser surgery, and is a member of the prestigious Society of Reproductive Surgeons. And he's been on the Faculty of Medicine at St. Louis University School of Medicine, Creighton University School of Medicine, and he is the developer, along with some of his colleagues, of the Creighton Model Fertility Care System, which we're going to be talking about today. And that has led to the development of the new gynecologic and reproductive science called naprotechnology. And this is such a cutting edge really a service to women and couples, not just a science, but really it's a ministry. And I'm just so thrilled to be talking with him about this. He's authored more than 100 professional books, chapters, and articles. John Paul II appointed him to full membership of the Pontifical Academy for Life with his wife, Susan, where he served, and he's just a great blessing. Dr. Hilgers, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk today.
Oh, it's just great to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. And, you know, there's not a real awareness today of, first of all, the issue of infertility, and then secondly, how to address that issue in a way that's aligned with the faith. But how prevalent do you find infertility is in our society today?
Well, for a long time they thought that infertility was not on the increase, but in the last 6 or 8 years there have been studies that show that the percentage of women who have infertility problems has definitely increased, and it's somewhere in the 12 to 14% range of married women.
So,
and that might be an underestimate, actually, if anything, but it used to be maybe about 10%, so it seems to be on the increase.
And so certainly millions of couples today are affected by this. What causes the sadness of infertility, or what are the contributing factors?
Well, infertility is actually caused by a number of different factors, some of which a woman may not have, while they may have another of the factors. For example, underlying hormonal abnormalities, which can result in abnormal ovulation patterns, can occur. Endometriosis, which is a condition where the cells that line the uterus and slough with the menstrual flow actually get onto the outside of the uterus, on the tubes and the ovaries, the bladder and the bowel. That can be associated with infertility. Polycystic ovaries, which are large ovaries that don't function very well. This is another cause. And you can have scar tissue or pelvic adhesions, which are associated either with like a sexually transmitted disease like chlamydia or maybe previous surgeries. So there's a lot of causes, and NAPR technology actually is, right now, it's really the only approach that looks for the underlying causes and tries to treat them effectively.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, so often today, couples, when they're facing infertility, are just basically shuffled off into in vitro fertilization or artificial insemination or some other artificial intervention. But tell us about how NAPRO technology works. And first of all, what that stands for. I know that's a kind of combined word, you might say.
Yeah, the word NAPRO technology comes from the three words, natural procreative technology. And it actually evolved while we were studying a natural family planning system. And we began this work in 1976, and we were looking at the Billings ovulation method and doing an independent evaluation of it. And before too long, we were able to see that this system had a lot of application to a whole variety of different women's health issues. So it wasn't just a good family planning system, but it was also a way that a woman could monitor and hopefully maintain her gynecologic health and her reproductive health. So this all grew over a period of time. We really didn't set out to do this, but we did set out to work in the natural family planning arena, and as we learned more, we began to realize this had a special application to a whole variety of other women's health issues, infertility, which is, and recurrent miscarriage, both of which are really special applications.
That's fascinating. That's sort of like the discovery of penicillin, right? You start out with one mission, and then you end up discovering something that's even more fabulous and is transforming the lives, really. Your work is of thousands of people. I know, Dr. Hilgers. We need to head to a break, actually. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Hilgers about NAPRO technology, the founder and director of the Pope Paul VI Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction. And stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
you're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Pope Benedict XVI makes an historic trip to the United States. During his six-day visit, the Pope makes several stops in Washington and New York. He addresses the United Nations, prays with clergy abuse victims, goes to Ground Zero, and celebrates Mass with tens of thousands of Catholic faithful at Nationals Park and Yankee Stadium. Cardinal George was at the Pope's side throughout the visit. We'll talk with Cardinal George about Pope Benedict's U.S. tour in this very special edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North of South Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
To Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we're talking today with Dr. Thomas Hilgers, an extraordinary physician who has brought hope and healing to literally thousands of couples facing the sadness of infertility. And Dr. Hilgers, before we went to the break, you were telling us about the extraordinary way that you discovered NAPRO technology, and you mentioned that it addresses the underlying causes of infertility. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, in medicine, over the years, one of the basic premises is to find out what's wrong with a person so that you can treat the underlying cause.
Mm-hmm.
And we do treat symptoms on occasion, but when the oral contraceptive came in 1960, the whole profession of gynecology at least changed dramatically. It wasn't just the birth control pill for contraceptive purposes, but all of the problems that doctors had in understanding, you know, the causes of things such as irregular bleeding or irregular cycles or recurrent ovarian cysts or severe menstrual cramps. I mean, the list goes on and on mm-hmm. and on. And a woman goes to her doctor even today, and the first thing they'll do is put her on birth control pills.
Yes.
So since we weren't involved in birth control pills, we were involved and interested in how to apply a natural family planning system. We began to see, as we worked with women of all ages, really, reproductive ages, who had various signs and symptoms of problems, and we would start looking at them from the point of view of different hormone studies or maybe ultrasound or even laparoscopy, which is a minor surgical procedure where we could take a look in at the uterus, tubes, and ovaries. And all of a sudden, we began to find all sorts of difficulties and problems.
Yes.
A good example of this would be the young girl, the adolescent, who goes to the doctor because she has severe menstrual cramps, and the doctor puts her on the pill. We have about 40 young women, and maybe an average age around 19, 17 or 18, that we've seen in this circumstance, that every one of them, when we evaluated them, had endometriosis. And so when we treated the endometriosis, the pain either completely went away or was a whole lot better. So
extraordinary.
So anyway, that fits into a really good model of medicine in a way, because the idea of giving birth control pills for everything was just a symptomatic approach. It actually didn't even care what was wrong with the person. So
yeah, and why do you think that was so embraced? I mean, I remember years ago, before I started working for the Archdiocese, I was on the show Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher like 5 times, and one of the guests on the show was Carl Gerasi, who calls himself the father of the birth control pill. And this guy is rather elderly now, but there were 3 men on the show, including Bill Maher and Carl Gerasi, and then another male guest, and then 2 women, myself and Caroline Ray, who is a comedian. And we were both saying, the pill stinks. We don't like the pill. The pill is terrible. It's terrible for your health. It's terrible for your mood swings. It treats women like an object to be sexually available all the time. And the men were saying, oh, we love the pill. In fact, Bill Maher got down on one knee and thanked Carl Gerasi, you know, for the birth control pill during the show. Is totally ridiculous. But why was the pill so embraced by the medical community, do you think, for kind of a catch-all to treat everything?
Well, I guess the only reason I can think of is it's just so simple and easy. I mean, you take a busy doctor who doesn't know any way else to approach it, and he can hand out birth control pills, and it's like a solution to everything, and yet it really doesn't solve anything. There's no disease that the birth control pill treats or cures. It does give some symptomatic relief to certain situations. However, the underlying problem remains the same. It's still there. And in fact, while she's taking the pill, it usually gets worse. So all you're doing is delaying the inevitable, which for some women end up with a hysterectomy or something along that line, rather than, again, looking at the underlying causes and seeing what the problem is.
Is there any medical issue that cannot be treated by other means other than the pill?
I don't know of any condition that you can't treat. In a way that does not use birth control pills, actually treat it more effectively. But you have to look for the underlying causes again. You have to find out what is the condition, what's the problem. And when these women are charting their cycles, there's a certain amount of information we gain from that that actually allows the doctor to pinpoint where the testing should be done, when the hormone level should be drawn, things that in the general everyday practice of obstetrics and gynecology, the doctor doesn't use or doesn't have available to them because their patients aren't charting their cycles. But in a practice like mine, everybody charts their cycles. We know exactly where they're at in their cycle. They know exactly where they're at. If you want a progesterone level drawn, for example, you know when to get it drawn in the cycle, and it will actually be meaningful rather than just wasting money.
Yes, tell us a little bit about charting. I mean, certainly I know what that is, but many of our listeners don't. And how is the Creighton model of NFP different from, say, the Billings ovulation method or the symptothermal method?
Well, one of the things that we ran into early on in our work, this goes back even when I was in St. Louis, where we started our work, we developed an objective and a common language for the observations that the women were making. What we do is we teach the women how to make observations of the mucus patterns, any bleeding that might occur, the absence of mucus, this sort of thing, and then there's a charting system, and the menstrual period sort of starts off the cycle, and then in the middle of the cycle there's this mucus pattern which is associated with fertility, and if it's abnormal, which we see a lot, for example, in a infertility situation, you'll find that there is no mucus pattern at all. It's completely dry, or there's a pattern of just what we call limited mucus, which is a marked reduction in the amount of mucus that's being produced. These are due to underlying hormonal problems, which can be translated also into abnormal ovulation patterns. So as we study these with ultrasound and we study these with hormone studies, you can also get an idea about how then to go about treating it.
That's fascinating. So in a sense, the woman's body, and I've gotten this from some of your materials, Dr. Hilders, but speaks a language that, but most women don't know that language, or we don't know our bodies, but your system of the Creighton model helps us to understand what is happening basically in our bodies.
Yeah, we like to call it an authentic language of a woman's health and fertility.
Oh, that's great.
And it is just that. You know, it's interesting. If you go back to some of the things that Pope John Paul II wrote, he referred to the language of the body in several different encyclicals that he wrote about when he talked about family planning conditions and things such as that. And what we've been able to do...
You know, Dr. Hilders, hang on to that thought, actually, because I have a very militant producer behind the glass there that's forcing us to take a break right
okay.
now. Brian is making us go to a break. So we will be right back, actually, with Dr. Thomas Hilders, who is the founder and director of the Pope Paul VI Institute. He received the highest award given by the Catholic Medical Association. He's been honored by Legatus International, and he is our guest today talking about infertility. So stay with us. Right after this break, we'll be back with Dr. Hilders here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552. Or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
We are back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, and behind the glass we have Alicia Torres, who is our producer for the program, and our very militant engineer, Brian Brock, who we're very grateful to have. But most of all, we're just so blessed today to have with us Dr. Thomas Hilders, who is an internationally renowned expert on assisting couples who are facing infertility with treatments that are aligned with the Catholic faith. Praise God. And Dr. Hilders, before we went to the break, you were talking about Pope John Paul II and some various documents, and I interrupted you in that, but please complete that thought about the Holy Father's kind of entrusting of this mission of assisting couples with fertility issues.
Well, he developed what's become known as the theology of the body.
Yes.
And in his discussions of this and writings on this, he would often refer to the language of the body. He wasn't necessarily referring to the same portions of the language that we're talking about, but as we began our work early on, we began to realize that what we were seeing was the body speaking to us.
Hmm.
And if we could only understand, it's like deciphering any type of a language. And so we've been translating this language now for the last 30 years, and we've made a lot of progress in terms of understanding it better developing techniques where we can make a good diagnosis and then subsequently a good treatment. So this whole language of the body that is a part of the CREATE model system is because all of that portion of it is standardized. And standardization means everything in this world. We have programs in Singapore and Taiwan and Australia and the United States, Mexico, Canada, throughout Europe, Africa. And it doesn't make any difference where the woman is charting her cycles. When we see the charts, we can interpret them because the whole language, every place, is identical. And each woman will have their own pattern, but you can interpret those patterns. And that's what was giving us clues. I mean, for example, I was talking a moment ago about something we refer to as a limited mucus cycle.
Yes.
Well, the only way you know that this is there is to teach a woman how to chart her cycles with the CREATE model system and see a cycle or two after it's been charted, and it'll just pop right off the chart. I mean, it's just so obvious and easy to identify. But it's also something that has been totally ignored by the what I call the dominant profession in obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive medicine in the United States and all the Western world. I mean, they don't even know this exists. They put it off. They usually ridicule the patients who do this.
Yes.
It's an antagonistic kind of an attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is in many ways the culture of death personified. And
yes.
With all of the move towards IVF, see, what happened with birth control pills is they had a medication that they could sort of cover over the symptoms. When it came to infertility, the first in vitro fertilization baby was born in 1978, and at that time, doctors who were involved in infertility really had a difficult time trying to figure out why this woman was not getting pregnant. It would be called infertility of unknown etiology. That is, the doctor couldn't figure out what it was. And that represented a very large percentage of these women. So what happened with IVF is that all of a sudden a technique came into play which the doctor interpreted as a technique which would solve their dilemma, and they could now jump over the diagnosis. They mm-hmm. wouldn't have to look for it. And if you read the literature on this, you see doctors kind of bragging about it even. You know, well, I don't have to look for what's wrong anymore. That's really a great advantage. Well, of course, it isn't an advantage because, unfortunately, IVF is not very successful overall.
And I wanted to actually ask you about that in terms of the success rate of in vitro fertilization. You know, I was at a party, and one of the guests told me that he and his wife went through, as he put it, went through 13 embryos.
Wow.
And they now have one child. And when he said that, I literally almost vomited. I was so just upset by this loss of life. But another couple I know went through more than 20 embryos, as they put it, more than 20 embryos passed away, and they never successfully gave birth to a child. Is IVF really successful? Does it live up to the hype?
Well, first of all, it is a technology which tries to create life by destroying it. So what
yes.
you just described is a good example of that. And on average, there's about 6 or 7 embryos lost for every one that survives.
Hmm.
And,
wow.
And the whole system is designed to put more embryos in than you could possibly imagine would survive.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is designed. And then if you have multiples, like if somebody comes up with triplets or quadruplets, which happens fairly high percentage of time, somewhere in the 35% to 45% of the time, then they recommend sort of euphemistically selective reduction, which means put a needle in the baby's heart, inject them with a poison, and
Wow.
Kill the babies so that you get down to just one or two babies, and then you don't have to worry about the premature births and all this other stuff. I mean, it's a really it's just a horrible thing when you think about it. It's almost macabre, you know, if you think of an old Vincent Price movie or an old Frankenstein movie. I mean, that's what it kind of reminds me of.
So many couples don't even know this when they're going into it. They think, oh, we just want to conceive a child. We want to have a child. The Catholic Church is pro-life, so this has got to be okay. You know, they justify it that way. And a lot of people just don't even know the Church's teachings. But why does the Catholic Church oppose in vitro fertilization and instead advocate for approaches like the work that you are doing?
Well, again, in vitro fertilization takes the conception of a new life out of the hands of the couple, puts it in the hands of a doctor, puts it in the hands of a test tube. I mean, it's all very artificial in how it's all done, and there are psychological and spiritual ramifications to all of that.
Mm.
And the Church can see that. You know, in its wisdom over the years, it's been able to see these kinds of things in ways that, of course, they get criticized for, but at the same time, they're really spot on with a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
So you end up with a person who goes through this. To give you a statistic, which I think maybe tells the whole story about IVF, first of all, you asked, is it successful? And the answer is yes, it is successful to a certain extent. The tragedy is that most women who have infertility think that's the only treatment approach, first of all.
Yes.
The second tragedy is that the success rate of in vitro fertilization in the year 2008 is actually less than the success rate of infertility treatments back in the mid-1970s, or even you go back to the 1950s.
Wow.
There were studies where you could have a higher pregnancy rate with certain types of treatments in certain types of conditions than you will get now today with IVF, and yet the doctors completely ignore that and push it aside because it has become the way of doing things.
And it's a huge industry. I remember the way I first learned about your work, Dr. Hilgers, was on a national relevant radio program where they had a woman interviewed on the show. It was a pre-recorded interview, and she and her husband had spent, I believe she said, $25,000 on in vitro fertilization treatments multiple times, and they were all unsuccessful, and she also talked about how difficult that process was, and the risks to her own health, and how demeaning she really felt that it was. And then she discovered you, and now she has four or five children. I mean, absolutely remarkable. And her story was so wrenching. I mean, I know that there are couples out there right now listening to this program who are thinking, "Gosh, you know, I wish that I could that I had found Dr. Hilger sooner. I wish that I had known about this." How can couples who are currently facing infertility issues find out more about your work? And we want to kind of bring this throughout the program so that people get this information.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that they can do. They could go on our website, which is PopePaulRomanNumeral6.com, and the whole effort of the Pope Paul VI Institute is outlined there, and there's a section on Napra Technology and all of our other programs.
Great.
You can also go to NapraTechnology.com. And then if you want to learn the Creighton Model System, you can go to fertilitycare.org, O-R-G, and you'll be able to see a listing of all the Creighton Model teachers throughout the United States and in Canada.
Great. So that's PopeVI.com,
right.
Or Naprotechnology, N-A-P-R-O, and the word technology.com.
That's right.
Or
that's right.
fertilitycare.org. And Dr. Hilgers, we need to head to another break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the success rate of your approach of Napro Technology, and also what exactly are the various stages of treatment that is involved in Napro Technology. So, friends, stay with us. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Hilgers about infertility, and we'll be right back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
This August, pilgrims from Chicago will travel to Lourdes, France, to mark the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Bernadette. The group will be led by Cardinal Francis George.
It's a place of hope, it really is. But it's all oriented towards the sick. If you're sick, you are the king of that place. Everybody's there who's in good health merely to serve the sick. And that's what the Blessed Mother is about. She appeared to a very poor girl, and she said, here's a place of healing. And that's what it's been ever since.
Join the pilgrimage to Lourdes. Call 312-751-2010. That's 312-751-2010. Call now and be part of this unforgettable spiritual journey.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, friends, and we are back with Life Talk, and I'm speaking with Dr. Thomas Hilgers, who is the founder and director of the Pope Paul VI Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction in Omaha, Nebraska, and he is a true pioneer in assisting couples who are facing issues of infertility with treatments that are aligned with the Catholic faith, which is absolutely so necessary. And Dr. Hilgers, I know that you've helped thousands of couples who are facing infertility to achieve pregnancy and have children. Isn't that true?
That is true, yes.
That's great. That's great. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I just came back from Ireland a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, how great.
And there was a young family physician who came and trained with us about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he's been in practice now for 10 years. He had a 10-year celebration. And he's practicing only, he's treating only patients basically who have infertility problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got 800 babies.
Oh, my goodness.
In that period of time.
That's unbelievable.
They filled the ballroom of this hotel. There were 1,000 people there, babies, parents, everybody. It was a real celebration of life. It was just extraordinary.
Oh, that is so heartwarming.
And you can imagine, you can imagine what the IVF doctors were thinking. But, you know, one of the statistics in IVF which I think is really, really revealing is the following. There are 6.2 million women, and that's probably an underestimate right now, but 6.2 million women in the United States who have fertility problems of one sort or another.
Hmm.
Of those 6.2 million, the number of women, the percentage of women, let's put it this way, the percentage of women who actually have a baby by IVF every year is less than 0.5 of 1%.
Oh, wow.
In other words, 99.5% of those women who have impaired fertility do not have a baby.
Wow.
And so what they've done is they've developed, first of all, a treatment which is mostly for rich people. And if you're not rich,
mm-hmm.
they'll go ahead and mortgage their home for upwards to $100,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they go in big debt for this. It's emotionally draining. It's spiritually draining. It's really frustrating.
Absolutely. And I remember too, I got a real kind of wake up call about the health risks to women. There's a group called Hands Off Our Ovaries, which I think is, you know, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Hands Off Our Ovaries. And they have a video trading on the female body, and it begins with the testimony of a mother whose daughter died during the in vitro fertilization process.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, it's like ovarian hyperstimulation
syndrome.
That's
right, that's right. Yeah, the death rate's 1% to 2%.
Wow.
Listen, I've been doing this for 30 years with Napro Technology. We've never had one single case of ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome.
Mm. Wow.
So,
now tell us a little bit about your success rate, actually, Dr. Hilgers. I know at least one person who's named their child after you because she feels that she would not have conceived and given birth to little Thomas without you. I know other women who have had repeated miscarriages, even a woman who was cured of postpartum depression, a very mm-hmm. severe case, through your work. But tell us about the success rate of conceiving through NAPRO technology.
Yeah, again, it'll differ depending upon what the problem is. But if you start with a woman who has polycystic ovarian disease, she'll have long and irregular cycles. She doesn't ovulate very frequently, and when she does, it's usually not a normal ovulation. We will get pregnancy rates in the 80% of the women who have that.
Wow, that's remarkable.
In women who have endometriosis, the rates will fall somewhere between 50% and 75%. In women who have really extensive scar tissue, it's going to be lower, but it'll still be around 35% or 40%, which is what IVF was originally designed for, and our success rates are higher than what IVF can produce today.
That's amazing.
So it's just been a great joy to be able to do this work.
I can imagine.
I just can't really express it enough. It's one of the things I've always been a little bit frustrated by is it's such a great privilege, and yet we don't have more doctors. We need more and more doctors to do this work.
Yes, and I found it's hard sometimes to get doctors. You know, here in the Archdiocese, I'm very passionate about this. We've got to get doctors on board, and I know doctors, and I talk with them, and I don't know what it is, but do you have any thoughts on how to reach out effectively to doctors to get them trained up to do this? Because, you know, there are small cities all over the country that have, you've trained up hundreds of doctors, haven't you?
We have trained hundreds of doctors now, and they are all over the United States, but the thing with which is probably common as a common thread amongst all of them is that they've gone through some degree of spiritual renewal. And I think probably more than anything, the doctors have to be challenged spiritually a little bit. And I'm in favor, for example, of the parish priest going to the doctor and saying, look, we need a Catholic doctor in this parish, or we need a Catholic doctor in this town or in this city or this community, wherever. And would you be that doctor? And then it can be kind of challenging because doctors always think that if they give up the pill or give up something, their practice is going to go away, and, and they're going to go broke and all this. And, and what has actually happened in our experience is when they learn NAPRO technology, their practice grows.
Yes.
It's amazing how it grows. And then they end up closing their practice in a few years because they're too busy.
Wow.
So it's just the opposite problem. But it's hard to convince them of that. But still, it's we just need more and more. We have to work on converting the medical profession. If we want a culture of life again, we have to develop a medical profession. And I would say particularly in obstetrics and gynecology, that's pro-life.
Absolutely.
And right now it isn't.
Oh, I know.
We have a long way to go yet.
Then that's what I hear so often from women. They go into their gynecologist, and the gynecologist says, you know, what contraceptive method are you using?
Yeah.
And they say, you know, well, I'm using NFP. And then they say, oh, okay. And then, like, even one doctor told me, well, that's contraception. It's like, no, it's because contraception means against conceiving.
Right.
And natural family planning is about understanding my cycle so that I know the fertile periods and the infertile periods, and it can be used to conceive or not conceive, but
exactly.
There's just a lack of understanding in the medical community. If there are doctors out there right now who are interested in this, what could they do, Dr. Hilgers?
Well, again, if they go on our website, popeaula6.com, and punch in the education department, we do have a medical consultant training program that we have for physicians, and it's through that program that we've trained 350 doctors now in the last 10 or 12 years. Mm. And we think that number is going to continue to grow and develop as the word gets out. We have a book on NAPRO technology for the lay public that's coming out sometime either at the end of this year or the early part of next year.
Oh,
we don't have an actual date yet for it, but the book is written, and we just have a few final details to work out with it and then to find a publisher. So We're hoping.
That's great. And you also have a medical textbook, The Medical and Surgical Practice of Nanotechnology.
Right.
One of the things that doctors have said to me is, and this always frustrates me, I already do those types of surgeries. I don't need to be trained by Dr. Hilgers. And my sister, who has gone through medical school, told me she's about to graduate actually in May. So we'll have to work on her. She's going into family medicine in Florida for the military, actually. She's in the Air Force. But she said, Dr. Hilger's approach is the most cutting-edge approach in the country as far as these different types of surgeries that you do, like the laparoscopy. But what do you say to physicians who have this sort of, resistance? They think that what they're doing is already adequate. I mean, maybe it is just a spiritual thing, as you said, but any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm probably not the best one to even ask that question to, because what I've often said is you won't find a doctor who doesn't have an opinion about natural family planning, and it's almost always negative, but you'll find almost all of the doctors know nothing about it.
Right.
And when it comes to the surgical procedures that we do, we have developed, one of the things we've pioneered is to do surgical procedures in a way where you don't get a lot of scar tissue. And most people are afraid to do these surgeries because you can actually make things worse if you don't do them right. Mm. But we've developed these techniques, and we're starting to train young doctors. We have a fellowship training program here now where we're starting to train young obstetrician gynecologists. So before long, another 5 or 10 years, we'll have these doctors all over the United States, at least some of them, and they'll be trained and they'll be capable of doing this sort of surgery. So
wonderful.
Slowly but surely, the word will get out. But doctors always have an opinion about it, and they just aren't. They have too much pride to say they don't know anything about it. And that's why they need a spiritual renewal. It's really this work, for me at least, has been its most spiritually uplifting thing that I could ever imagine being involved in.
Mm, praise God. Well, we need to head to a break. And when we come back, Dr. Hilgers, I'd like to finish up by talking about when a patient comes to you with infertility, what are the various stages that you lead that couple through to achieve pregnancy? So we're speaking with Dr. Thomas Hilgers, who is the founder of the director of the Pope Paul VI Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction. He's helped thousands of couples all over the world to conceive in ways that are aligned with the Catholic faith. Very beautiful. And we'll be right back. So stay with us here on Life Talk.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average.
Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Life Talk, and we are in the final stretch here of our program talking with Dr. Thomas Hilgers, and we are so blessed to have Dr. Hilgers with us on our program today. He's an internationally renowned physician, the founder and director of the Pope Paul VI Institute, helping couples. He's helped thousands of couples who've had the sadness of infertility to have children, and we're not just talking one or two kids, but the couples I know that have gone to Dr. Hilgers have large families, which is so beautiful. And Dr. Hilgers, you know, so many of us know people who have the sadness of infertility. Maybe there's a grandmother out there, a mother or a friend who knows somebody who is facing infertility and thinks, you know, I've got to do IVF or I've got to do another artificial technique. That's the only hope for me. How can people spread the good news about your work?
Well, again, they have to become aware of it, and probably the best thing for them to do is to learn how to chart the CRADE model system, because all of our teachers are called fertility care practitioners, and they go through a 13-month training program. It's very, very in-depth, and they're very knowledgeable about what can be done and how it can be done and where to go for services and so forth. So those teachers can be found at fertilitycare.org.
Great, www.fertilitycare.org.
That's right. And that, just starting to chart their cycles, all of a sudden they may start seeing things that they didn't realize were there, and the teacher can help them with that.
Yes.
And once they get to that point, you know, they can either go to a local doctor who's been trained by us, or if they need more advanced involvement, such as what we do, then they can be referred to the Pope Paul VI Institute. And we do have people coming from all over the United States now.
That's wonderful. And so I know that after a person goes to a fertility care practitioner and they start charting for about maybe four cycles or so, then oftentimes if the practitioner, if they have not yet conceived, and I know many couples do conceive just through that process, but if not, then that chart is sent to you. And then what are kinds of the next steps of treatment for NAPRO technology?
Well, most of the women that we will see will have regular cycles, and if they have regular cycles, they'll go through a very thorough hormone evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have an ultrasound series, which is a series of ultrasound examinations done on a daily basis around ovulation time to see if they have an ovulation-related abnormality, and they'll have a diagnostic laparoscopy. And the laparoscopy is done so that we can identify things like endometriosis or scar tissue or some other factor that might be involved. And these things are actually very, very, very common. To give you an idea, we will see endometriosis in about 80% of the women who have these types of cycle patterns and have infertility. There's a national database for all of the IVF centers, and they list the diagnosis of endometriosis at 6.8%. So you can see the huge difference between
remarkable
a program where they really don't look for the diseases and one like ours, which where we do look for the diseases. So there's a huge difference.
Yes. So the first step is charting, then the hormone analysis, which involves blood draws during certain periods of the cycle, which
that's
is
right.
And that's sent to your laboratory, right? You have a very
yes.
advanced national hormone laboratory.
That is correct. And yeah, it's one of the few labs in the country that can actually tell you whether the tests are normal or not.
Wow. Well, that's very important.
Yeah.
And then the next step is the ovulation ultrasound to observe ovulation. And what percentage of women do you find have ovulation defects where they might, for example, have what appears to be a regular cycle, but they're not ovulating, or maybe they have an irregular cycle? I mean, how can they be helped?
Well, it runs about 60%, actually, which is quite a high percentage.
Yes.
And for the most part, right now at least, we're not looking for what I call needles in haystacks, you know. I mean, these are really common, everyday garden variety type problems that we see. And And so it isn't really that sophisticated. It's pretty basic and pretty simple. We're now looking at the possibility of low-grade infection inside the uterus being a problem with various types of infertility and miscarriages. So,
wow, sounds really cutting edge. I mean, these are the kinds of things you don't hear anywhere else but from you, Dr. Hilgers.
Well, it's a real tragedy in a way because what's happened in our profession is we've abandoned the good principles of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with the birth control pill. Then it got going with abortion. I mean, you have high-risk pregnancy doctors right now who would sooner abort the pregnancy rather than to treat the woman who's pregnant whatever problems she might have.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing now with IVF, in vitro fertilization, these artificial reproductive technologies that are just skipping over the underlying causes. And so we've developed a whole profession which is sort of, you know, like the three monkeys. I see no evil, I hear no evil, I speak no evil. You know, I don't see anything. I can't because my hands are in front of my eyes.
Hmm.
So it's really tragic. I mean,
it
goes against really the best principles of really modern medicine.
Yes.
And yet they call this modern, they call it advanced technology, they call all these names. If you watch the television programs like the Today Show or Good Morning America, I mean, they're all talking about in vitro fertilization.
Right,
they're
that's
following
so true.
The septuplets and they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not telling you what babies have cerebral palsy because they were born at 28 weeks, which is 12 weeks premature.
Hmm.
They don't tell you all the abnormalities and problems that are associated with it. They don't show the young woman who died, for example. I mean,
Yes. These
things don't happen that often, but prematurity does, and 35 to 45% of the pregnancies from an IVF clinic will be delivered before their full term of the pregnancy, and that's a hazard to the baby. I mean, the infant mortality rate in the United States a few years ago actually started increasing again.
Wow.
That should not be happening in this day and age when medicine really, in many ways, is the best it's ever been.
Now, Dr. Hilgers, after you find these issues of maybe hormonal issues or the ovulation, you know, there's an ovulation abnormality or through endometriosis, I know you can treat the endometriosis or block tubes, things like that, surgically very effectively. How do you treat, what is kind of the treatment for the other issues?
Well, if there's an underlying hormonal problem, we have to give medications which will stimulate ovulation and then stimulate hormonal production.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a mucus-related problem, we have certain medications that we can use which will stimulate mucus production from the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
If the husband has a low sperm count, we do look into that as well. We have certain types of treatments which we can use for that.
Great.
So there's really a whole variety of different things that we can do, and it's just a matter of going about it in an orderly fashion, finding out the information you need to make good decisions.
Yes.
And then implementing a treatment strategy. The one thing that doesn't happen in NAPRA technology is people don't get pregnant like instantaneously.
Yes, right. It takes time.
Process over a period of time, so I constantly preach to people patience and perseverance because those are the two things that most often will pay off.
Absolutely. Dr. Hilgers, it's such a blessing to have you on our program today. I know you've been honored by so many people, including Pope John Paul II, and you've gotten so many wonderful honors, and you're just internationally renowned. We deeply appreciate you being with us today.
You're very, very welcome. I'm very pleased to have this chance to talk with you, and it's great being into Chicago. That's a great area. I actually worked at Cook County Hospital for 6 months many years ago. So,
oh, how wonderful.
Kind of like my old stomping grounds back then.
We need you back here. We desperately need you here, Dr. Hilgers. But thank you so much and keep up the great work.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Dr. Thomas Hilgers, who is the director and the founder of the Pope Paul VI Institute. And friends, to find out more information, you can go to www.naprotechnology.com. If you're interested in finding a fertility care practitioner, maybe you're facing the sadness of infertility, maybe somebody who you know is, go to www.fertilitycare.org. Again, that's www.fertilitycare.org. You can also go to www.popepaulvi.com. And friends, this is Mary Louise Curry. I hope that you all have a blessed Mother's Day. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next month here on Life Talk.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.